9 minutes after the hour, I have Dr. Linda Mintel on the line. She is, of course, the host of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show here on the Faith Radio Network. Linda, I want to talk to you this morning about shyness. Good morning, Linda.
Well, happy spring first.
Yeah,
I'm
happy
not a
spring.
Shy person, so
I know you're not. But I've got some rapid-fire questions here, and if you'd give me rapid-fire answers, I think this would help me get started. All right. Now, is it a mental, emotional issue? You know, when people break into a sweat walking across the room at a party because they say they're so shy, how are we to understand that?
Okay, so that's a great question because we want to establish right from the get-go that shyness is more of a personality trait that people have. You know, it is that tendency, like you're talking about, to be somewhat awkward or worried or tense during some kind of social encounter that you have, especially when you're with somebody who's unfamiliar to you or a new situation. But it is not the same as something we call social anxiety, which is when the shyness maybe in your personality takes you to an extreme where you're really just fearful of doing the things that you need to do and be in any kind of social performance activity. Then when it causes distress in your life and it's impairing you and it's stopping you from doing things, then it can move to social anxiety. But shy people are not necessarily people, they're not people with a disorder like social anxiety is.
Okay.
So I want to make that real clear because a lot of people struggle with being shy.
Yes. When shyness starts to cripple a person's life socially, though, and, you know, and I think social media does make it easier for people to become more isolated and sit at home with a sense of, well, I'm kind of connecting to people, but really you're not. So how do we make changes or improvements if we struggle with shyness?
Well, one of the things you can do is if you know that that's your personality, that you tend to be more towards that shy side of things, then when you're getting ready to go into something new, it really helps to think, okay, I'm going to prepare ahead of time either something to talk about or I'm going to think about what I'm going to do to interact with people. I'm going to really be self-aware of smiling, trying to be friendly to people when I walk into a room. And I've encouraged a lot of people who struggle with shyness just to practice social skills and try to push through that little bit of anxiety that they feel where they're having to go up to somebody and saying hello and make conversation. And then when you've done something, when you've actually pushed yourself a little bit, it really helps rather than to focus on, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm so, you know, shy in a room and look at that person over there who's can just easily make conversation. Instead, focus on, okay, I'm shy, but I pushed myself a little bit. Focus on what you did right and don't compare. And it does help, Bill, if you do things like ask people open-ended questions or if you're going to an event, like a wedding is really tough for people that are shy. And I'll say, you know what, if you're going and maybe it's a family member and you really have to be there, why don't you volunteer to do something like be at a table to help with the punch or do something to help with an activity like the guest book? And that way you have a little bit of structure in what you're doing, which will help you and push you forward in that kind of social situation.
Okay, Linda, what's the difference between just being shy and being introverted? Because I'm an introvert, but I'm not shy.
And you're an entertainer, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so a lot of entertainers love the stage and get out there, and they can be phenomenal on the stage. But then when it comes into one-on-one, interpersonal, especially Bill Arnold.
Thank you so much.
Right?
Jot that down, Rebecca.
Clap,
she just gave me a great quote for my resume.
And I'm applauding right here on my
desk.
But, you know, the thing is, they can also be very introverted because introversion is really about how you recharge. And it's an intentional strategy of saying, I'm going to pull away to recharge. As somebody that I think of who does this is Bill Gates. He's one of these people who is an introvert. He recharges by pulling away. Now, the shy person really wants to be around people, but the shyness is stronger than the desire to be sociable. So the shy person is actually afraid to go to something and stays home. So there's a difference between recharging and intentionally avoiding people because you regroup better that way and you just like that strategy of kind of having quiet time, having thoughts on your own. Whereas the extrovert, which I am, if you couldn't tell, I'm like off the charts on extroversion. I get recharged by being around people. And the more social, the more people, the better I feel. So that is a little bit different in terms of an intentional strategy of recharging versus the shy person who really wants to do that but is somewhat afraid.
Okay, Linda, what about the person that says, I'm too shy to pray in a group? That The thought of that just takes me down.
You know, I think a lot of people are just afraid to pray in a group, period. I don't know if that has to do with shyness, to be honest, because it feels a little daunting sometimes for people, because we have this sort of weird idea in our head that we have to say the prayer right. We have to sound like, you know, Alistair Begg, who you just promoted on the show. We have to sound, you know, like some theologian when we pray.
Right.
So a lot of people get very uncomfortable trying to do it. And again, I would just encourage you to just sit back. A lot of times with a shy person, they just need time to warm up. And so if they're in a prayer group, let's say, or a small group, and they've gotten to know people, then eventually that shy person will probably try it a few times. And if you don't, then maybe you need to say to yourself, okay, let me just push myself a little bit and try and see what happens. And then, again, not compare yourself to the person who sounds eloquent or the person who, you know, just seems to be at ease with that, but to say, okay, God, I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to try this. You know my heart, and I just want to express how I'm feeling to you, and make it very short. Maybe just start with one or two sentences and just pray and say, Lord, we just love you. We thank you, praise you for who you are, and I just pray for this need today, and then stop.
That's awesome. All right, we'll take a little break. When we come back, more with Dr. Linda Mintel. It is 15 minutes after the hour. Be right back. We are still with Dr. Linda Mintel, and we are still very happy about that. Linda, there are people that have trouble establishing appropriate boundaries or figuring out how to assert themselves into relationships. That's a little bit of coming out of the discussion about shyness. But I'm curious as to how we are about being who we are in our relationships. You've probably heard this before where people say, I can't be me in this relationship.
Yeah, and part of that is kind of a cop-out, and I want to say, because here's the thing about relationships. The more you work on who you are in terms of you understand the family dynamics that you had growing up, you understand what patterns that you learned from your original family, you know, maybe the way you deal with conflict, maybe the way you deal with anger, maybe the way that you talk to people when you're upset or don't talk to people when you're upset. All of that, and you come out of a family, and then you go into other adult relationships. So part of the work for every person is to figure out, well, who am I in that process? So I'm part of a family, but I'm also this unique individual who has a separate self. And what happens, Bill, is a lot of people sort of leave home, and they never really think about what they've brought with them to another relationship. And so they really haven't developed a good sense of self to begin with. And then they get into a relationship, and they think, well, I just, you know, this person's driving me crazy, or I can't be who I am, and they're stopping me from being a certain way. And no, they're not. The work is you have to figure out who you are, and then part of that process then is bringing that self to the other person and constantly defining, well, what do I think? What do I feel? What are my needs in this relationship? How do I accommodate another person in that process? How do I learn to be flexible in a relationship? And what patterns am I bringing to that relationship? So as a therapist, I have worked with people over the years where they come in and they complain about the other person who's stopping them from being them. And I go, really? Okay, really, it's not really what's happening. You are hiding behind that because you need to figure out who you are and then how you're going to deal with that other person.
So when you hear adults say, I have to figure out who I am, and other people hear that and think, you don't know who you are, you're an adult. But you hear that all the time, don't you?
Well, it is, but it's not quite that simple, you know, because a lot of us are walking around and we really haven't really considered how our early life experiences have fed into who we are. We haven't really thought about how our biblical teaching or lack of biblical teaching, some of us haven't even figured out what the apologetics of our faith is. We haven't really made our faith our own. You know, maybe we grew up in a Christian family, maybe we've, you know, been exposed to church, but we've never really thought, now, what do I believe and why do I believe it? So that whole process of young adulthood is really trying to figure out who am I? First of all, who am I in Christ? That's a great place to start, because that's where you truly have to define your own identity. You have to figure out who you are in Christ first, because out of that very secure attachment that we have with our God, you can be very secure in your other relationships. That is the corrective relationship for all relationships that we're going to encounter. So despite the fact that you may have grown up in a highly, highly dysfunctional family, if you start with, who am I in Christ, and then you start working through the family patterns and the things that you've learned, and you try to figure out, now, what part of my family stuff do I want to keep and bring into my adult relationships, and what part of that do I really need to work on changing in order to be healthy? If you engage in that process, you're going to have a much better idea of who you are.
All right, Linda, if you didn't really learn how to do conflict resolution in your family growing up, and now you're an adult, where do you learn these skills, and how do you put them into practice and be successful with them?
Well, you buy my book, We Need to Talk. That's a great promo.
How is that for a setup? Come on.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. But that's honestly why I wrote the book, because I have found in my practice, again, so many people who are just don't know how to do conflict and how to do it well. And we really have great research that actually lines up beautifully with biblical prescriptives on dealing with conflict. So this is a skill that has to be practiced. It's a skill we have to do, because Matthew 18 tells us when we have a problem, we have to go to our brother and we have to deal with it. So this is a skill that you can learn by understanding the basics of conflict management, where you don't start a conflict harsh, you start soft, you learn to listen, you learn to talk to a person without any kind of escalation in the emotional level. There's all kinds of things that you can practice, and you can make a change. And that's the beauty of any kind of change that we need to make when we're a Christian, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us that helps transform us in a way that makes us more like Christ. And Jesus is a great biblical model for how he dealt with people interpersonally. And all you have to do is begin to read the Bible and then get a little help on specifically what makes conflict successful in a relationship.
Why do we, or maybe I should say I, get flooded so easily?
Yeah, and that again is a little bit of that, I'm not sure I know what I'm doing here. We don't think that consciously, but
well,
when
I do.
The emotion, well,
you don't know me, Linda. I'm sitting here right now,
okay,
thinking,
well,
I don't know what I'm doing.
Then I'm going to help you. Right now. So what happens is the emotional part of the brain begins to take over when we're in a conflict. I mean, usually what happens is our emotions rise. We either get angry or upset or embarrassed or something, and that feeling part of the brain just hijacks the thinking part of the brain. And so for the moment, we literally are kind of paralyzed or frozen. We can't think. We really don't know what to do. And part of the work with a lot of people is I help them calm that emotional part of the brain down. A lot of times through distraction, through a timeout, through learning how to take a couple deep breaths, learning how to re-engage the thinking part of the brain, and then moving forward in good management skills. So not uncommon what you're saying, but that's one of the reasons, Bill, so many people avoid conflict, because they just feel bad, and then they don't know what to do with that, and so they just avoid it. But the problem with that strategy is, first of all, it's not biblical, but the second problem with that is we know from the research that if you avoid conflict that and you feel better temporarily, the next few days it's going to come back with a vengeance, and it's going to wreak havoc in your physical body. This is why God told us to go and deal with these issues and to not let the sun go down, which is what it says, not literally, but not to let these things fester and to build up into a problem in our personal relationships and in our physical bodies.
Our engines can run pretty hot from the second we put our feet on the ground in the morning.
And yeah, they really can.
And then we spend all day with escalated feelings and emotions, and then it doesn't take much to trigger something. It's my jack-in-the-box theory, you know, that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's just that little half turn that makes the guy pop out of the box, and sometimes it's just that little half turn of something that happens that just sends you into orbit.
And that's because people have allowed this stuff to build up, or they've tried to ignore, and it simmers. Like you're saying, it's like a pot on the stove that's simmering, and eventually it's going to boil over if you don't take care of it. That's why the Bible was so specific about don't let that happen. You know, deal with things now.
Linda, I appreciate the free therapy session, because this is what I just got.
Well, it was fun to talk about this, but this is where people live. You know, we started with shyness, and a lot of people are struggling with that. We're talking about how do you then kind of move into figuring out who you are and then deal with other people. And this is real life. This is what we're dealing with. So hopefully we'll all get a little help. And, you know, a lot of times, Bill, I have to take my own advice, so that's a good thing, too.
Oh, I agree. Linda, thanks so much for being on the show. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Happy spring.
Yep.
All right.
To you.
Take care.
26 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back after the news, Dr. Richard Land, he's always got something very strong to say. Be back in a minute.